It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling it out from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeeze him by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Yeah, it is, because we still got training camp. So that's a good part. This is what I would say, and I know it might come up in another question. You know, I don't think the offense is behind. I think the offense is where every team that has a new offensive coordinator and head coach is at right now. I don't think I've ever heard a team say, man, the offense is way ahead of the defense right now in June. It's normally the opposite. It's always the defense is ahead of the offense. What I think our guys are doing a good job is Luke, Getsy, and that offensive staff, they've thrown everything at the guys. Got the playbook. Just asked them today, hey, guys, is everything in? Luke, everything in? He shook his head. Yes, it is, AP. Okay, cool. So now that's what we use the next 5 weeks. We get together as a staff, we get back in training camp. Okay, less is more. I live in that world, less is more. Who are we? What is our true identity? We'll figure that out more in pads. But I think when you give the volume, if anywhere, you don't care what office you're with, it's going to be some ups and down days. It's the learning curve. Do you remember 3 years ago with us, with Patrick Graham? It wasn't pretty. Look where we're at today. So one of our pillars was process. And I told our guys, don't get frustrated. Just trust the process. And I know it's repetitive. It's a cliche deal. But it's true. Just trust the process. And again, it's on us as coaches to take out the things that we just can't get right. But it's also up to you as players to get it right, to study the playbook, right, to come back July 23rd, more dialed in, more focused, more of an understanding of what to expect, what the calls are, go to vocabulary. That's your job. You're a pro football player. You come prepared come July 23rd. I think you'll see growth as we go through training camp.
That's Antonio Pierce laying down the law, putting on a call, putting the Raiders on notice that this is a joint operation. The coaches will do their job. It's on you as players to report to training camp in Costa Mesa, July 23rd, ready to go. Understand the playbook. Look, by the way, first of all, hello to everybody. It's the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignor, obviously JT the Brick. Not here today, Vinny Bonsignor, filling in for the great JT the Brick. And we're talking about the process. We're talking about the Raiders offense. We're talking about the Raiders quarterbacks. It didn't look pretty during OTAs and minicamp. But is that cause for concern? I don't think so. I think there's plenty of time for the Raiders to build their offensive foundation. They just put an entirely new playbook in. There wasn't time to master anything. It was literally put this segment in today, go out in the field and practice it. Report back tomorrow, put this segment of the offense in, go out on the field and practice it, and so on and so forth. There was no mastering. There was no fine-tuning. It was literally just downloading, uploading, whatever you want to call it, some kind of loading. The offense, a brand-new offense to a new quarterback, to one new quarterback, a quarterback that's going into his second year, fourth-round pick from Purdue the year before. Everybody on the offense learning from ground zero. It was going to be raggedy. There were going to be tough days, especially going against a defense that the Raiders' offense was going against. But the important part is they built that foundation. They got their playbook in. Now it's a chance for the coaches to take some time here over the next 5-6 weeks to pare it down a little bit, to figure out what worked, what's not working, what the players are getting, what they're not getting. And then it's on the players to spend these next 6 weeks learning this offense so there's no steps backwards coming into training camp. And that's when the fine-tuning will come into play. That's when mastering of certain plays and, the red zone, the third down offense, first down offense, second down offense, that's when that will all come into play where it becomes repetitive and doing it over and over and over again. That's why I'm not really that concerned. Was it concerning sometimes watching them struggle? Yeah, a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. But when you put it in perspective, and I think Antonio Pierce put things in perspective, there's reasons why it looked the way it did. And there's reasons to believe and to have confidence that it's going to look much better down the road, and certainly by the time the Raiders take the field against the Los Angeles Chargers, September 8th at SoFi Stadium. We want your calls today, 702-365-9200. We want your calls. What are your concerns, if any, about the offense? We talked earlier today on the morning show about the Trevor Lawrence contract and what that could mean. There's always a ripple effect. Anytime there's a contract that's signed, there's always a ripple effect that literally gets felt throughout the league. All 32 teams will feel it. The Raiders, to some extent, will feel it. The question is how? In what way is that contract going to affect the Raiders? Well, number one, if Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew can take this job and run with it and command it and seize the opportunity and be who the Raiders hope that they can be, well, then they might have to – it'll be a couple of years before at least until they have to kind of worry about a quarterback contract. So that's the ideal situation, is that Aiden O'Connell, I think he would be the preference of the Raiders to take this job and run with it, to negate any need to go back out in the open market next year to go get a quarterback. But what if he doesn't? What if they go back at the end of this year and say, need to improve the quarterback position? There's no other way. Got to do it. How do you go about doing it? Do you go to the draft? Well, that's going to depend on where you're drafting. We'll go through some of the top college quarterback prospects as of right now. That's bound to change by the time the college season is over next year. The order of them, somebody will surprise and jump up and potentially move up in the draft. We saw that with Jaden Daniels last year. Do you go into the free agent market for a quarterback next year? Well, there's one particular quarterback out there. There's two, really. Tua Tagovailoa from Miami has not signed his next contract yet, and certainly Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys is going into the last year of his contract. He's probably going to cost $60 million or so to the Cowboys. What if they just decide, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction? What if Dak Prescott was available to the Raiders next year in a scenario where they feel like they need to go get a quarterback? Would you be comfortable paying Dak Prescott what he wants in that situation? I think I would. You go look at what Dak Prescott has did. I know that he gets a lot of hate. He's a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. That's going to happen. He's got a bullseye on his back just because of the helmet that he wears and the uniform that he wears. We get it. But go look at the statistics and tell me that he's not a worthy quarterback. Go look at he was the fourth-ranked quarterback in the league last year, according to Pro Football Focus. And by every metric, he was certainly a top-10 quarterback last year. 36 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, completed about 70% of his passes. His record in his division is 32-8 over the years. He's 9-4 against the Philadelphia Eagles. He's gotten into the playoffs, six times? He's won 2 playoff games. If you look at his playoff statistics, they're not that bad either. I know the team hasn't had success, but it's hard to look at those statistics and pin their shortcomings in the playoffs on Dak Prescott. So we want your thoughts, 702-365-9200. If Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell don't take the bull by the horns this year and definitively declare themselves the quarterback of the present and future for the Dallas Cowboys, of the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders have to go looking for a new quarterback next year, would you entertain the thought of Dak Prescott with the Raiders? We're going to talk to Vic Tafer at 12:30. He does a great job covering the Raiders for The Athletic, one of our great friends and great colleague. He'll be in at 12:30 to give his impressions, his observations about what we saw during the Raiders' OTA practices that were open to the media. And, of course, turned out to be a two-day minicamp after Antonio Pierce cut him loose after 2 days. He canceled that third practice. I know all the players were pretty happy about that. They got their work in. I got this question a couple of times over the weekend. Do you think that they should have taken advantage of that last day to, work more on the offense? Look, as Antonio Pierce said earlier, he checked with Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator. Is the entire playbook in? Yes. That was goal number one. That was objective number one. There will be plenty of time to start fine-tuning and start paring it down and start, really figuring out what it is that the Raiders can do well, what maybe they don't do so well, and build, game plans and a plan moving forward, let's put it that way, before getting ready to go play the Chargers and paring it down to fit whatever they feel like they're going to see against the Chargers. We're also going to talk to Callie Lawson Freeman, a great young reporter, great young writer with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. She covers the Aces. The Aces kind of struggling a little bit. I'm going to talk to Callie. This is the first question I'm going to ask is, why am I not really that worried about the Aces right now, even though they are kind of going through a rough patch? I just feel like two-time defending champion, it's hard to just get up for everybody's best punch game after game after game, which is what they're getting from throughout the WNBA. And when you've been to the mountaintop twice and you kind of innately understand that, you know, these games are extremely important, but they're not the end-all be-all. There will be an end-all be-all down the road. It's sort of human nature that you're going to maybe take a little bit of a step back this time of year and understanding that, hey, we've shown already twice. Can rise to the challenge, can rise to the occasion, and do what you need to do to win two straight championships. That is the ultimate confidence that the Aces have. And I feel like they feel like they can turn it on. Does that make the losses any easier to digest? Probably not. And it is frustrating. And you want to see if you're the Aces or you want to win every single game. But given the kind of punches that they're taking from everybody else, because let's face it, for so many other teams, it's literally their championship. When they play the Aces, whether it's at home, here in Las Vegas, that's the sort of their championship game. That's their litmus test. That's a notch on their belt, on their gun belt, to take down the Aces. Great. That's fine. It's the regular season. I've seen it before. If you're a Warriors fan, you kind of understand that going through the run that the Warriors went through recently. You're getting everybody's best shot. Is it frustrating to lose in February? Yeah, in December, sure, January. But when it gets right down to it, the Warriors understood, okay, time to kick it back into another gear. The playoffs are coming up. Took care of business. I saw it for years with the Lakers doing the same thing. So frustrating, but I don't think it's so concerning that I would be sweating that the Aces aren't capable of getting it done. We want your calls. We want your text, 702-365-9200. Going back to what Antonio Pierce said, and I agree with him. And it was easy to sit there. I'm not going to lie. It was easy to sit there throughout some of those practices and kind of look around and talk to, you know, fellow reporters, you know, hanging out with Q Myers, our great colleague here at Raider Nation Radio, or Adam Hill or Vic or Tashawn Reed. And we all saw what we were seeing. We were seeing an offense that was struggling throughout the offseason. A couple of things to keep in mind. Number one, and I wrote this in a observational piece that I put together this weekend about what I feel like I learned about the Raiders during the offseason. Number one, the defense that the Raiders offense was playing against or competing against day in and day out during those OTA sessions and minicamp sessions didn't just look good, it looked exceptional. This Raiders defense has a chance to be spectacular. When you look at, and we got a chance to see it up close and personal, and now granted, there were no pads on, so it's a little bit deceptive. I felt bad for the offensive lineman because in this situation, I think the defensive line always has a little bit of an edge because realistically, the offensive line can't fight back the way they normally would with helmets and pads on and full pads and full green light to get after it. You don't do that this time of year, so speed is going to win out and you're not seeing the normal fight that you would see at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. That said, man, that group up front for the Raiders defense, when you're talking about Max Crosby, the addition of Christian Wilkins, I saw there were plays, there were a couple of instances, one in particular, where Max makes a play in the backfield to just blow up a play. And the very next play, it was Christian Wilkins blowing up a play behind the line of scrimmage. And I was watching the reaction of Max after the second play. Of course, he's going to get hyped up on his, wreaking havoc out there, as he always does and as he should, he deserves to. But he was just as happy when Christian Wilkins, made his wrecking ball play and went over there and celebrated with Christian Wilkins. And it just sort of hit me right there, man. This is what you're probably going to be seeing on a consistent basis with this Raiders defense, especially up front. When you talk about two players that are arguably the best at their position in the NFL. If they're not the best at their position, they're certainly top three, and that's good enough. To have one player that's a top three player at his position on the defensive line is works wonders for your defense. But to add another player at defensive tackle, alongside Max Crosby, that's top three at his position in the league, that's not happened here for the Raiders in years. I mean, you'd have to go back to the days of, you know, Howie Long and Lyle Alzado and that group, Greg Townsend, guys that were just maniacs, great players at their positions, whether it was rushing from the edge or getting the push inside. You have to go that far back, I think anyway, to find a time when you had two dominant players at defensive end and defensive tackle, as the Raiders have now in Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby. Then you throw in Malcolm Kuntz, who also looked like he's ready to pick up where he left off last year. And Tyree Wilson, I kept an eye on Tyree Wilson throughout OTAs and throughout minicamp. And it feels like he's so much further along right now than he was. I mean, obviously, at this time last year, he wasn't even on the field. We've got to keep that in perspective. It's important to remember that Tyree Wilson, I know he had sort of a lost rookie season, but when you think back to this time last year, and he wasn't even medically cleared to get on the field to practice, the amount of time lost as a result of that, and then you throw in the fact that for the first 3-4 weeks of training camp, he was unavailable too. He hadn't been medically cleared to get on the field until literally, the last week of training camp. And even at that, I remember it was, I want to say we were in Thousand Oaks, joint practicing with the Rams when he first made his appearance on the field, Tyree Wilson. And even at that point, it wasn't like he was cleared to do everything. It was a sort of a ramp-up period for him that took a few weeks before he was able to, you know, let loose the way you want to see somebody let loose. And so when you think about Tyree Wilson, the whole season, as a result of all that, was just playing catch-up. And it was unfair to expect him to go out there and just, all right, go dominate. You know, you're this big, strong, fast, long, lean football player. Go. That's not how it works in the NFL, not at this level. So it took him a little while to get the legs under him, to get all the different things, the different variations of playing defensive end and competing against great players on the offensive line, coming up with moves and counter moves and all that. There just wasn't enough time for him to play that kind of catch up. And it wasn't really until that last month of the season that he started, you know, blossoming a little bit. And now he's had a full off season to really hone his game, to do things that he wasn't capable or able to do last year at this time because of the injury over at Texas Tech. So I saw a player that I feel is just way ahead of the game compared to last season. And when you start looking at this defense and Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo flying around at linebacker, Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, whether it was Ja'Corian Bennett or Brandon Faison splitting times at that perimeter corner spot, cornerback spot. And then you got, you know, Trayvon Merrick and Marcus Epps and support help from guys like Isaiah Palamau, and we saw a lot of Chris Smith out there as well. That defense has a chance to be really special. So flip it over to the offense. By the way, we didn't even mention the defense going into year three under Patrick Graham. That's continuity that the Raiders have not enjoyed for years. And throw in the fact that you return 9 starters, if you want to say a 10th starter, because Ja'Corian Bennett did start the season as a starter. So they've got 10 players coming back that started last year, that at one point or another started, 9 of which finished the season as starters. The 10th, Ja'Corian Bennett, who started the season as a starter, went through some injuries, went through some rookie ups and downs, but a player that certainly won a job coming out of training camp last year. And then that 11th player, who's that 11th player? Oh, yeah, Christian Wilkins. Christian Wilkins is the 11th player, is the new starter, a guy that just happened to be the best player at his position in free agency. So that's what this offense was competing against. And when you talk about the offense, Luke Getsy, first year offensive coordinator, putting his imprint on this team, downloading an entirely new offense that this team is learning collectively together. It's not like, you know, they added a new quarterback to the scene and to an otherwise experienced offense, coming back with the same offensive coordinator. That's a challenge in itself. Think about Derek Carr going to the New Orleans Saints last year. It was Derek Carr learning an entirely new offense. But at the very least, he was stepping into a team that had experience in that offense. So it was one player versus 10, 13, however many, you know, support infrastructure players, starting players on that offense that was returning. That's even that is a challenge. But now imagine the quarterback learning it, a new quarterback in Gardner Minshew coming in and learning it. Devontae Adams is learning this new system. He has a little bit of a leg up because he played under Luke Getsy with the Green Bay Packers. But everybody else is also learning in real time. And we're talking about learning an entirely new playbook, different language, different adjustments at the line of scrimmage, different cadence. Everything is just completely new. And what I saw out there, number one, an offense that was playing uncertain rather than with confidence. And the reason I say that is because when you don't have full command of what you're doing, of what your responsibility is on any given play, when you're kind of thinking the play like, all right, that's the play. What am I supposed to do on this play? They'll eventually get all that. That's what the great ones do. That's what Antonio Pierce was talking about. Come to training camp having a command of your responsibilities on whatever play you know gets called. That's going to come. The absorption of the offense mentally is going to come. But it wasn't there. It was literally going from the classroom, drawing it up. Remember when you were in high school football and you'd had the meeting, you know, and just whatever level of football you played during the spring, and your coach would draw up some plays, and then you would go out there and practice those plays. And then the next day, you're on to something completely different. That's a challenge. And so you can't have full command when it's that new and it's that quick and there's time constraints during the offseason. So when you watched this offense during OTAs and minicamp, what you saw were guys that were still thinking rather than just playing. And I think that combined with going against a defense that is light years ahead, this is a defense now that's mastering rather than installing. They're adding to what they've already created. They're perfecting things rather than learning things, and there's a huge difference between those two components. And you throw in that, you also throw in the fact that there's literally no running game going on in OTAs and minicamp. Yeah, they'll hand it off a couple of times, and yes, you have to do that because you're learning those plays as well. But there's really no if you're the defense, you pay lip service to the run game. When you're playing defense, most of it's going to be the pass game that you're defending, because that's what the offense is trying to work on, the timing of it, everybody's route, all of that good stuff. So for the most part, the defense knows it's going to be a pass play. So they're back on their heels defending against the pass. It's not going to be until they get the pads on, or really preseason games and the regular season, when the offense is going to have the luxury of throwing a real run game at the defense and then letting that run game be part of what complements the pass game. So things like play action pass, there's no play action pass in OTAs and minicamp. The defense is like, whatever, we're just sitting back defending the pass right there. It makes it a lot more difficult for the offense, because you can't build that foundation. And make no mistake, the run game is a huge, huge component of what the Raiders want to do. That is what they're going to hang their hat on. They're going to play that off of the pass. And I think once that gets introduced, you're going to see a much better offense. So I'm not worried. 702-365-9200. Give us your calls. It's Vinny Bonsignore sitting in for JT the Brick.
I told them to decompress, you know, remove themselves, because we had a really good job with attendance. We did a really good job with attendance this offseason. I said, hey, use the next 2 weeks just like I'm going to do. I'm unplugged. So if you don't have WhatsApp, don't hit me up. And I said, you know, come that second week of July, you need to turn up the heat a little bit. Get that water in that pot, start to simmer. But I said one thing we can't do is we can't start over on the 23rd and 24th. We're not going backwards. So it is on you to come in here in the physical shape. It's on you to be ready mentally and emotionally, but more importantly, understanding the playbook, because we're going forward with whoever can understand the playbook. It's not about, you know, draft pick. It's not about money. It's not about status. We're going with the guys that put in the time and commitment to do what we want to do over the next 6 months. And that's just do one thing and one thing only, win. And I want winners. Winners never stop working. You can decompress, but I didn't say you stop working. So we got to find a way of that. And I just told them, when they come back, kick in the front door and let's get this bad boy rolling.
Antonio Pierce speaking. That was Thursday. Seems like such a long time ago already, but that was Thursday to conclude minicamp and really to put a bow on the Raiders' offseason program. And he's absolutely right. And I like the way he challenges players. I mean, he does it in a very kind of an upbeat way, but also a no uncertain terms way. Like, winners keep working, you know. Obviously, you go decompress, but that doesn't mean stop working. A lot could get lost over these next 6 weeks if players don't take care of business. I fully expect the Raiders to take care of business. They've been taking care of business the entire offseason, and when you have leaders like Davante Adams and you have leaders like Max Crosby, who are kind of the Pied Pipers of all this, I think they're going to make sure that everybody, or for the most part, everybody, toes the line over these next 6 weeks. Enjoy yourself, decompress, but don't take any steps back and don't put anybody in any kind of a vulnerable position to take that step back come training camp. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation radio guest line and welcome in my good friend and colleague, a great reporter over at The Athletic. He and Tashawn Reed do a fantastic job. And of course, I'm talking about Vic Tafer from The Athletic. First of all, happy Father's Day, Vic. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you guys do yesterday?
Not much. Just kind of hung out. We had, we had some hot chicken for dinner. But, yeah, it was pretty laid back. Just chilled and enjoyed the family. How about yourself?
We went out to dinner. But, you know, I think fathers and mothers look at these things entirely different. Because I think dads, and I don't know if you're in this category, but I kind of like to just chill. Like, I look at Father's Day sometimes as I don't need to be going out and doing all this stuff. Maybe if you want to take the kids out and go shopping or go to a movie and let me just sit on the couch and watch a game. I mean, I put my Mets game on or watch some golf. I'd be content. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I need them, obviously, to kiss the ring a little bit, tell me how great I am, how much they appreciate me. other than that, I can definitely chill out and relax.
I hear you.
Acknowledged and just kind of be celebrated for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Vic, we were out there during minicamp, OTAs as well. I saw what I saw. I think we all kind of shared the same sentiments, especially when it comes to the offense and to the quarterback play. We heard Antonio Pierce said, hey, this offense is right where it probably should be given all the circumstances of bringing in a new offensive coordinator. I take him at word to some extent. Nevertheless, it was hard to overlook some of the struggles from the quarterback. But I'm going to ask you, based on your experience, your insight, how much do you think that was on the quarterbacks that we saw in terms of the struggles, or just kind of a byproduct of what they're dealing with, learning an entirely new offense on the run, condensed time, and then also working against a really good defense simultaneous to that?
Yeah, I might definitely get the defense would be ahead. They brought all the guys back from last year. They're definitely at an all-time high confidence level. But I do think the quarterbacks weren't very good. And I don't think they're asking a lot of those guys to be good in that setting. It's, you know, it's medium speed. I mean, it shouldn't be that high a bar. I mean, but it's not a huge deal. I think minicamps are always hard to really take too much from because it is more of a learning time for these guys. You mentioned the new players, and especially the quarterbacks and offense. So you can't really get too excited or too, like, distraught over minicamp. I think Antonio will pick the right tone. So we'll see at training camp. We'll definitely see where they're at and have a better idea. I think they also have the ability with their salary cap space to make some moves if they have to. If you have to bring, a running back or a cornerback at that point, you can. So I think they're happy right now with where they are in terms of, the confidence level and the camaraderie and kind of like they can pick up where they left off last year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, talking to some people in the organization, I think their approach to OTAs and minicamp was probably in the right place, which is less about evaluation and more about installation, especially when it comes to the offense. That said, it's impossible to just take the evaluation process or part of it out of the process. It's human nature. You know, you're trying to build a football team, so there has to be some evaluation going on. And as it relates to the quarterbacks, I don't know, based on what I saw, any quarterback distinguish themselves from the other in any sort of discernible way. It doesn't seem like there was any separation that was created between one or the other, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, or vice versa. And I don't know if you agree or not, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your thoughts on that. If would you be disappointed at this point if you're the Raiders that somebody didn't maybe nudge ahead of the other?
No, I think really there were 2 days we watched. I thought Aiden was probably better the first day and worse the second day. I think probably the settings probably favor him because, you know, Gardner's more of a off-the-cuff kind of guy. Like, he's more likely to scramble and make a playoff off schedule. And kind of the way he carries himself, kind of like the gambler, kind of the wild kid. I think that kind of maybe hard to emulate in practice sometimes. We have to set a quick drop back, get rid of the ball kind of thing. And I think sometimes his passes tend to stay a little bit. He's throwing off balance with him, you know, not in the perfect form. So I just think he's more of a game guy than a practice guy long-term, which that's why I think this all comes down to the preseason. I think these guys are going to be close probably throughout camp. I mean, they'll have all 3 games. I think they're both going to play those games. And that'll be the real indicator of what we see as far as when we're able to determine who the quarterback's going to be.
You've been doing this for a long time in terms of covering the Raiders. This is a first for me with the Raiders covering a true quarterback competition. Even Derek Carr's rookie year, the way it was explained to me, I was not covering the team at the time. But going in, it seemed like it was Matt Schaub's job, period, exclamation point. And then at the very end, they pulled the old switcheroo. So it wasn't necessarily Derek Carr is competing against Matthew Schaub for the quarterback job. And that's how this training camp is going to get approached. So take that one out. It ended up being Derek Carr took the job from Schaub. But when was the last time you actually covered a Raiders team that had a true quarterback competition?
Yeah, you're right, because they definitely brought in Schaub to be the guy. And Derek will tell you that he was surprised when I told him he was the guy. He thought he might be getting traded or cut, which is absurd, but that's what Derek says. But there was no competition, and Schaub just was terrible. So I think he kind of forced it to make a change. So before that, I'm guessing Matt McGloin and Terrell Pryor, maybe even Jason Campbell and my guy Greg Kowski. But, yeah, it's been a long time. I think they've always had a guy who they wanted to be the guy. So it's and I think this offseason they probably went into it thinking, you know, Gardner Minshew, I gave him $15 million guaranteed. I think they thought he'd be the guy. But I think Aiden's got a good job of coming in with a little swagger, a little more experience. I think guys respond to him now a little more than they did in the locker room. So I think he's kind of forced a true competition. And, again, neither one's kind of stood out thus far. So here we are.
We're talking to Vic Tafer from The Athletic. Does a fantastic job covering the Raiders, has done it for years, also does a little bit of boxing, dabbles with a little boxing as well. You know, when we're talking about Aiden and Gardner, they're just different enough that that you can start thinking about, all right, as far as, you know, either's quarterback play and style, let's put it that way, their styles are different. If you were to just take an educated guess or gut instinct, whatever you want to call it, whose style do you think is going to fit better for what the Raiders are trying to do?
It's a good question. I think this offense can be different things. You know, obviously run a lot of 12 personnel, the 2 tight ends. But I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot. So they also have Davante Adams, and they got, you know, some deep threat and Trey Tucker and Mars. So they can definitely go different ways offensively. So I think you can kind of maybe pick your poison. And how about this? I'll throw this out there for the first time. Ooh. How about you rotate quarterbacks? How about you get one serious for Aiden, one serious for Gardner, a little more rollout action, a little more bootleg, back to Aiden? How about that? I'm trying to make a problem. You have a perfect solution.
Are you talking off the top of your head, or is there some insight? Is there some insight here? I'm not going to ask for your sources. You know we don't do that.
No. I'm just saying, hey, we're still being negative. We're supposed to be positive and say, you know, the best of both guys in every game. I'm just talking out of my ass. I just think it's whatever. Who knows? I mean, we'll see how it goes. But you're right; they're different. So if you want to get, you can definitely change the playbook based on which guy's playing.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I mean, I guess if I'm the Raiders, without a doubt, I need somebody to step forward at some point in training camp to kind of declare themselves. But I'll say this, this is the last one on the quarterbacks. I really feel like, you know, we talk about, okay, this guy's going to be the starter, you know, game one. But I think that this competition is going to extend into the regular season. And by that, I mean, just because Aiden or Gardner is designated as the day one starter come October or September 8th, I think it's from that point on, now's the real challenge of which one of those quarterbacks is going to hold on to the job. Because I don't think it's going to take them long to decide, no, this isn't working, and make the move. And I guess that's the question. How long do you think that the Raiders would wait if they don't feel like it's working? How long is the guy going to get, would you say, to show them during the regular season that he's the right guy for the job?
It's a tough one because, I mean, we don't know for sure these guys are that much different as far as skill level. So maybe there's not a huge, like, turning point and turning camp. One guy's a lot better. The other guy, maybe this drags on where both guys are kind of the same boat. Then what do you do? So, yeah, I don't be any no fear to make a change. I think hopefully they'll do what they want to do as far as trying to get the win. But I'm not sure it's going to be an obvious call in camp or even after camp. I think at some point they go up to your gut and say, you know what, maybe you go to Aiden because he was a guy last year. Maybe he's got a little more swagger this year. But the problem with Aiden is, he's a great kid. And he works hard, but he can't move. I mean, and I know he's worked hard in the offseason, but he still can't. He's very, I don't want to call him a tree, but he's very stationary. I think teams who play against him again this year will definitely have a better idea of what to do against him. So I think the experience may work both ways as far as he's better because of it, but now teams know him a lot better. We'll go against him. The film's out there, so they're able to scheme against him better. So I think it's a tough one with him. And Gardner's been a guy who's kind of what he is. I mean, he's had flashes, but he's also been on a lot of teams. So to answer your question in a long way, I'm not sure there's going to be a huge turning point, and I'm not sure, you know, if you make a change and you don't, might go back and forth. That's what I was kind of joking earlier, but
yeah,
I could see both guys playing a lot this season.
Yeah, and which always is all going to lead to the question when the 2024 season gets wrapped up, are they going to be in the quarterback business again next offseason? Which it's hard to imagine that they won't be. I'm just going to say it at this point. Because I think you're always in you know, the quest to get better, and I think that it all starts right there. And unless something surprising happens where one or the other just decisively takes charge of this job and leads them to the promised land or the playoffs and plays so well that it eliminates that question from the offseason, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this again next offseason. Vic, as spotty as it was with the offense during OTAs and minicamp, it was the complete opposite on defense. And I know defense has some advantages over the offense this time of year. No pads. They know what's coming. Basically, it's always going to be a pass play for the most part. But the defense that I saw on the field this offseason looks decidedly different than any defense that I can remember since covering the Raiders. It's only been since 2019, but, you know, a little bit of a sample size. This is by far the best-looking defense that I've seen. From your vantage point, and I know they got to go prove it on the field, but from your vantage point, from starting points, where does this defense rank for you in the times that you've covered this team?
Yeah, it's very high. And there's some real juice there. I mean, they also finished last year strong. You add Christian Wilkins, one of the better players in the league, so it's going to take it to another level. You guys have a lot more confidence. I think Pierce mentioned how, like, years ago, the Patrick Graham system, people were like, you know, it was messy. People didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. There was some confusion. There wasn't a lot of confidence. But now, that wasn't the same page. Graham is very confident. He's going to make some changes, some tweaks based on what he sees as far as opponents every week. He has not much talent now, much confidence. And the guys know the system, so linebackers look good. The DBs look good. Jack Jones has got some real charisma and some real, like, he thinks he can be one of the best guys in the league. And he had some flashes last year. And then you look at Jaquan Bennett, looked like he's a lot better this offseason. So there's guys, you know, there's reason for hope. And I think they returned, 9 players from last year on defense. So definitely the bar is pretty high.
Yeah, for sure. And you've got a little bit of a double-edged sword going on as well. Typically, players going into the last year of their contracts respond, especially good ones. And you, when you talk about Divine Diablo, Robert Spillane, Trayvon Merrick, Marcus Epps, Nate Hobbs, and Malcolm Kuntz, every one of those players that we just mentioned, and all of them are key players, key starting players for this defense, are going into the last year of their contract. I know the Raiders want to sign some combination of those. It's probably not going to happen that they sign all of them. Well, that remains to be seen. But if you were to put one through six, I think it was, whatever that number is in terms of priority for signings, how would you lay it out? And what do you think is going to happen? Do you think anyone's going to sign during the offseason or in training camp? Or do you think all of this gets resolved next March?
I could definitely see maybe in training camp or towards the end of training camp. I think, you know, Tom Telesco is still kind of new here. He's kind of, I think he didn't want to walk in the building and start giving out extensions. Like, that was kind of a problem with the last regime that kind of backfired. So they want to wait and see what you got. And firsthand, kind of, you hear things from the coaching staff, you watch the film, but I do want to get, you know, a taste of yourself of being in the building and watching training camp what you have. So I think maybe a bunch of those guys, I don't know how many, get re-signed or get extended in camp or towards the end of camp. I think Spillane's an obvious one because of his Pierce connections, and he was so good last year. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I don't think he even wants to break the bank. He seems like he's pretty happy as far as playing with Max and being with Antonio. So I think he's kind of been a key cog last year down the stretch. So that kind of makes a lot of sense. And Kuntz, anytime you have a young pass rusher getting better, you want to pay him before it's too late and before the price gets too high. Those two guys jump out to me when we list. Who else did you mention?
Trayvon Merrick, Nate Hobbs, and Divine Diablo. And Marcus Epps.
Hobbs definitely another guy. They feel a special player. I think he's kind of he might just be getting, you know, getting better and better. So another guy you want to kind of do before the price gets too high. And they're all obviously good players. They all fit in. I mean, Merrick's definitely gotten better after a slow start to his career. So you can't sign them all. So you got to, you know, probably choose three or four. But I like that three that I gave you.
What your thoughts on cornerback? I know that you know Nate and Jack Jones are you know, ready set as two of the starters. They need to find or identify a starter opposite Jack Jones. We saw a little bit of Ja'Corian Bennett. We saw a little bit of Brandon Faison. I think they have some high hopes for DeCamrion Richardson, the young player from Mississippi State. It's a concern until it's not a concern. But from what you saw, do you feel like this group or the answers are going to be within this group, or do you feel like they're going to go reach out to outside the building and maybe bring in some reinforcements?
Yeah, I think you're probably going to ask somebody probably early on in camp. I think Faison's solid. I think Ja'Corian Bennett obviously has the upside. Didn't really do great last year, but it's tough being a young cornerback. You can get your feet under you in the conference and stuff. So I think he's shown some maturation, but it's still a kind of a big jump to make. So I think they like Steven Nelson. He retired, but I think there's still guys left in the free agent market who they can probably bring in. So I think you wait maybe, you know, first half of training camp, see what you got. Maybe Faison's, you know, is ready to take the next step, and maybe or so is Ja'Corian. But if not, I think it'd be no waste of time to bring somebody in. There's plenty of guys who are available, veteran guys who can come in, help solidify the position, and also help young guys like Ja'Corian get better.
Last question for the great Vic Taffer. Special teams, we've talked more about special teams than I ever remember. And I think it's rightfully so, because this thing is going to look really drastically different than what we're used to. And we're talking about the kickoff. Just based on, you know, your initial thoughts and initial observations of what we've seen so far out there, who do you think is going to have the edge to start off with? Is it going to be the return team or the coverage team?
That's a good question. I'm going to go with the return team. Yeah. I'm also going to say, I have a feeling this is going to change again before the season starts. They're kind of trying out this new stuff, and they'll try it out in the preseason. But I still think we haven't really seen the end of the changes. I think they're going to realize that it's maybe too confusing. It may not be. I mean, there's a lot to kind of these guys to grasp. So I'm not sure it's going to work. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made some more changes to the rules before the season starts.
Wow. Well, we're on special teams watch from this point forward to see
I thought it was a fun watch. It's not really a good watch to be on.
Well, we'll
I usually tune out and start like daydreaming when that happens.
No more going to get hot dogs on the kickoff in the press box. But you know who's going to be into it? Our good friend Adam Hill. He's like a psycho when it comes to special teams. Like legitimately, that is his thing in life. So we'll let him.
He has a big poster of AJ Cole over his bed. So of course he's going to be into
That's it. Right. He prays to AJ every single night, and we love him for that. Vic Tafer, thank you so much for taking some time. I don't know when I'll see you again, but look forward to it. I'm sure it's probably going to be in Costa Mesa, California, where the average high that time of year is like 79, 80. So it's going to be nice in Costa Mesa. Let's put it that way. Thank you, my friend.
How about take care, man?
You too. That is Vic Tafer from The Athletic. He does a great job covering the Raiders and has been doing it for many years. And, you know, for him to say, this defense is as good as he's seen in a long, long time. That's saying something. And you know what? It's got to be, because I would imagine that first 4 weeks of the season when the Raiders' offense is trying to get its sea legs under them, you're going to need that defense to kind of save the day and keep games close. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. I'm in for JT the Brick. We will see you on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, what is that called out there that we just did?
Practice.
That's it, right? Like this is the opportunity to get all of that stuff ironed out. It's going to be a lot of mistakes. It's going to be mistakes made, you know, during the season. But this time of the year gives us the opportunity to get ahead of it and learn the system. Thankfully, I've been in the system for a long time, so 90% of these calls, like, they're coming through, and I know what to do right away without even, you know, getting in my book for real. So. It's a learning process for everybody getting comfortable with it. The same thing happened with the last offense when we were here, trying to just figure out, you know.
That's Devontae Adams putting things in perspective, channeling his inner Allen Iverson when I asked him about putting this offensive struggles in perspective. And he looked at me and he's like, what did we just call that we were just in practice? Exactly. That's what practice is for. And, you know, I get that and I understand it. He's such a perfectionist, though. He later went on to say, look, when a ball sails over my head or I don't make the catch, I'm a little upset. I may, you know, drop a few curse words. And for him, it's just a wasted opportunity to get better and a wasted opportunity to make that connection. But he keeps it in perspective. It's not like, you know, I'll get mad for that 20 seconds or so and maybe express it, but that doesn't mean that I've lost hope or that I don't think it's all going to work out in the end. He truly believes that it will. And you know, I agree with him. I don't know how high end this offense is going to be. I think that it's capable if the quarterback play is just solid, just needs to be solid for this offense to flourish. There's too many playmakers. Whether you're talking about Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, I was really impressed with Trey Tucker, and we're going to get it back into him a little bit later on in the show. And Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers, the young rookie, you didn't really see much semblance of a running game, but that will come so that it gets to a point where it's complementing each other. But you're going to see this offense get better, and you're going to see that offense get better in training camp. Will the defense need to step up the first month of the season? Probably, but that's okay because there's a long season to go and plenty of time for this offense to figure itself out. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. I'm sitting in for JT the Brick. Thank you so much. Give us a call, 702-365-9200.